How many of you remember the old series titled Little House on the Prairie? How many of you remember that show? I remember that show. The two most famous members, of the cast were Michael Landon and Melissa Gilbert. The setting for most of the series was a small town called Walnut Grove, Minnesota. How many of you know where Walnut Grove, Ohio is? There is such a thing, and it's not much more than a couple houses, to be honest. It was set in the 1870s to the 1880s, and it was based on a series of books written by Laura Ingalls Wilder, which my daughter had that set. And I must confess that as much as my children watched the show, I would be willing to tell you that I probably enjoyed it as much or more than they did. One of my favorite episodes was titled Stone Soup. Stone Soup. And this episode was based on a popular story that has been around for many years, and it's told in many different ways. Once upon a time, a stranger rode his tired horse down a backcountry road on his way home from a long journey. It was late afternoon, and the man was tired and hungry. Ahead, he saw a small village. "I'll get something to eat there and find a place for the night," he thought. Suddenly, the horse tripped, throwing the stranger to the ground. As he brushed himself off, he saw that the horse had stumbled over a rock sticking out of the ground, right in the middle of the road. He walked over to it, and he dug it out of the earth so that no one else would trip over it themselves. It was a splendid rock, almost perfectly round and smooth. The stranger liked the rock, so rather than throwing it away, he put it in his saddlebag. Climbing on back up on his horse, he continued into the village. As he rode past the first houses of the village, people stopped to stare. He waved to several of them, but no one waved back. He got off his horse and he approached a woman standing in front of a small house. "Good evening," he said cheerfully. "Could you spare a bit of food for a hungry man?" The woman began shaking her head almost before he had finished his sentence. "We have had a poor harvest here. We are very worried, and there is barely enough food for our family." "I'm sorry." And she walked into her house and shut the door. The man continued to the next house where a farmer was working on his wagon. "Do you have a place at your table for a hungry traveler?" he asked. "It didn't rain during the last month before harvest," the farmer said. "What little we have is needed for our children." At every home, the stranger heard the same sad story. The harvest had been poor. There was not enough food to make it through the winter. Everyone was very hungry. Everyone was worried. And they was worried about themselves and their immediate family. Completely discouraged and very hungry, the man sat down under a tree in the village square. "Poor people," he thought. "In a few weeks, they will be as hungry as I am." Suddenly, an idea hit him. He reached into his saddlebag, took out the stone, and addressed the villagers. "Gentle folk of the village," he shouted, "your worries are over. I have in my hand a special stone that will help take you through the long winter. This is a special stone, and with this stone you can make stone soup." "Stone soup," an old man replied. "I've never heard of stone soup." "Well, the wonder of stone soup," the stranger continued, "is that it not only feeds hungry people, it also brings people together. Now, who has a large empty pot?" Quickly, a huge iron pot was found and delivered to the stranger in a wheelbarrow. The kettle is barely large enough, but it will do, the stranger said. Now we must fill the pot with water and start a fire. Eager hands carried buckets of water and firewood, and soon the pot was placed over a roaring fire. As the water began to boil, the stranger dramatically raised the special stone above his head, and then he gently placed it in the kettle. Stone soup needs salt and pepper, the stranger announced. Two children ran to find salt and pepper. After the water had boiled a few minutes, the stranger sipped the brew. This stone makes an excellent soup, but it would be better if we had a few carrots. We have a few carrots that we're willing to share, a farmer replied. Immediately, his daughter ran home and returned with an apron full of carrots. It's too bad the harvest was so bad, said the stranger. Stone soup is always much more tasty when we add a cabbage or two. I think I know where to find a cabbage, a young mother shouted as she dashed towards her home. When she returned, she was carrying three large heads of cabbage. The stranger was busy slicing carrots and cabbages with his hunting knife. The last time I made stone soup was at the castle of a rich man. He added a few potatoes and a bit of beef. Some people talked quietly. A bit of beef, and we can eat like rich people, they whispered. They went home and soon returned, not only with beef and potatoes, but they also brought milk and onions and barley too. By the time the soup was ready, it was almost dark. It was the most delicious soup that they had ever had and that they had ever smelled. And to think, it all came from this special stone. The stranger finally declared that it was done and invited everyone to eat as much as they could eat. After everyone had eaten their fill, some folk brought out their fiddles. Everyone began to sing and dance, and they continued until wee hours of the morning. Never had the people of the village had such a wonderful party. The next morning, the whole village gathered to say goodbye to the stranger. As he mounted his horse, a small child called out, "You forgot to take your special stone." The stranger smiled and he said, "I'm going to leave the stone with you as a gift of gratitude for your hospitality. Remember, as long as you make stone soup, you will never have to worry about being hungry." As he rode off, a grandfather put his arm around the shoulders of his young granddaughter and said, "Do you remember the other thing that the stranger promised would happen when you make stone soup?" "Yes," she said, "the stone brings people closer together." And we've paused. We've paused this time of year to come together as the family of God to celebrate the wonder of our God and the blessings that He so abundantly gives us from day to day. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 25 to 33. Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 25, it says, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not clothe you? You of little faith. So do not worry then, saying what we will eat or what we will drink or what we will wear for clothing. For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We've been so wonderfully blessed, and oftentimes I wonder if we really pause to just stop and think about how blessed we really are. How much time do we spend worrying about our finances? How much time do we spend worrying about the food that we're going to eat? How much time do we worry about clothes? How much time do we spend doubting the very words of Jesus that we just read? The key is found in verse 33. It says, if we seek first God's kingdom, if we seek first to live our lives according to His holy word. And as long as we are seeking God and seek to live according to His righteous laws, then we can rest assured that God will supply all our needs. I own several different versions of the Bible. The honest truth is, if you own one Bible, you've been so richly blessed. Many people make light of this, but I'm sure we all must agree that when we woke up this morning, we too were greatly blessed for another day of life. We can meet here whenever we want to. We can come into this building without fear of persecution and imprisonment. Yes, we've been so richly blessed to be a part of God's family here. How wonderful it is to shake each other's hands, to smile at each other, to hug each other, and to know that we are with family. How thankful and privileged we are to be able to worship with our husbands and our wives, with our parents, with our grandparents, with our grandkids. There's a lot of people that would just about give anything to be able to worship at all, let alone have the right to worship as we please. What a wonderful blessing to be able to go to God in prayer and to have a mediator in Jesus Christ who will go before God and take our petitions before Him. The story of Stone Soup is a story about sharing and caring for one another. The story reminds us that no matter how rich or how poor that we may be, everyone has a gift to bring. And everyone can be a blessing to those all around you. The story also reminds us that we have something to be thankful for and that we have a bond here. And this bond is a gift from God. And this bond indeed makes us richer and provides more wealth for us than the world may ever know. No matter how rich, no matter how poor, we must all share because we've been so greatly blessed. But we need to remember that thanksgiving is so much more than just sharing our abundance. Thanksgiving is about two very basic things. It's about the giving of thanks for the blessings that God has provided. And it is about trust and faith. We trust in God and we believe that He is in control and that He will continually bless us. Thanksgiving is about faith, the faith that we have to live every day of our lives the way that God would have us to live. Ephesians 5:20 says, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This may be hard to do, but we've been instructed to be thankful in every situation that we might encounter. As hard as it may be, we must be thankful. And I work hard to live my life with this practice, and I found that I still hurt, I still have pain, but being thankful helps ease the pain. It helps ease the hurt. When we are in the most difficult, darkest days of our lives, as difficult as it may be, that's when we need to be giving thanks. Thanksgiving is always a time to reflect about the year that we've had. I remember the spring and how fresh and full of life it was. A time to reflect on the dog days of summer and remember the heat, the mowing of the lawns, and the planting of the gardens. A time to remember the farmers when they planted their crops that they so graciously provide through the blessing of God to this nation every year. Think about the harvest that we've had, and now we prepare ourselves for the long, cold winter. Yes, we have so much to be thankful for, don't we? But we must remember that with great blessings comes great responsibility. Luke 12:48 says, from whom everyone much has been given, much will be required. And to whom they entrusted much, they will ask all the more. This verse tells us we've been blessed, so we have a big responsibility to share that blessing. And it's only fair. It's only right. Because these blessings are from God. We need to be willing to give to those who are in need, especially because we have so much. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of James. James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. James 2, starting at verse 14. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. We see here the twins of faith and works. And we see James telling us that if we see a need, then we do have a responsibility to meet that need as a measure of the works of our faith. And this is just one small example. One small example of showing our faith. During this Thanksgiving season, I want to challenge you to do as the psalmist instructed us to do. When in Psalms 100 verse 4, he says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Bless his name. We have so much to be thankful for, and we have so much to be praising God for. In Psalms 106 verse 1, it says, praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. Indeed, God is good. I also think it is important for us to have a thankful heart. It's really easy to be thankful when we are going through the smooth times, isn't it? It's easy to be thankful when life seems to just be going great. But I believe it's important to maintain that thankful heart even during the rough times of our lives. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's a big task, isn't it? Rejoice in everything. It's not an easy thing to do, However, when we maintain a thankful heart during the rough times don't seem to last so long, and they seem a lot easier to bear. Thanksgiving and a thankful heart is a sure sign of your spiritual health as well. The more inward you are focused, the harder it will be to thank Father God for the blessings that He so graciously provides. The more inward we are focused, the harder it becomes to help meet the needs, even though we've been blessed so greatly. James 1:17 reminds us, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. James says, everything we get, every good gift that we receive is from God, and He just never changes. For those who are truly letting Christ lead their lives, thanksgiving is an attitude that acknowledges the contributions that come from God, from our family, and from those around us. We live in a world of chaos. We live in a world of confusion. Oftentimes, when we look around and we see the world around us, we see nothing but crime, and we see nothing but violence. We see nothing but confusion, don't we? In the book of Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, we read, "How long, O Lord, will I call for your help, and you will not hear? I cry out to you violence, yet you do not save. Why do you make me see iniquity and cause me to look on wickedness? Yes, destruction and violence are before me. Strife exists and contention arises. Therefore the law is ignored and justice is never upheld, for the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore justice comes out perverted." That sure sounds exactly like the days that we're living in, doesn't it? When there is no righteousness, and justice is oftentimes perverted. Habakkuk was reminded by God that God is in control, and he lived in much of the same type world that you and I live in today. But Habakkuk learned a great lesson, and he had such a wonderful attitude. In one of the most beautiful passages of Scripture, one of the most beautiful passages of Scripture in the Bible, in my opinion, is found in the third chapter of Habakkuk, in verses 17 through 19. He says, "Though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exalt the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He made my feet like hinds' feet, and He makes me walk on my high places." For the choir director on my stringed instruments. Habakkuk says, no matter how bad it is, I'm blessed and I can rejoice in God. And He makes it so I can stand on my own two feet and stand upright. The alternative to thankfulness is hate and anger and violence and greed and depression and arrogance. And I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like a very good alternative to me. Count me in on the side of Habakkuk, because regardless of the evils that surround me, I know that I have been so greatly blessed and have so much to be thankful for. This week, when you sit down with your friends and your family and your loved ones and you feast on the blessings that God has so richly provided, I ask that you make sure that you take time to thank God for all the wonderful blessings that He has so graciously blessed you with. Think about stone soup and ask God how He can make you a blessing to someone else today. Remember Habakkuk and be thankful to God, and remember that the Lord is our strength, especially in the world that we live in today. Thank you, and may God bless.